B-Pod Studios.
Farzetta in the morning.
The one thing that I need to see today, and it would be a very warm, cozy hug from the Phillies, is Spencer Howard gets called up today.
Yeah.
You have the doublehead. Now, look, you
give some hope to this team.
You don't need him today.
No, but just get him in that clubhouse.
And let us know that you love us a little bit.
Yeah.
That's it. That's all you got to do, Phillies.
Bryce Harper begged you.
Yeah, he was like, if this is not started by the sixth game.
Well, that was actually very telling in the sense of we sit here and we're just a couple of jagaloons who think we know sports. But that guy plays the game, has seen his pitches, has been in the batter's box when he's throwing, and he goes, no, he's legit.
Yeah, you need to have him. You need to have him up here, like now.
Especially
now.
When you're trying out Nick Pivetta and Vinny Velasquez.
So here's the threat to our own well-being. First off, the positive news is we've highlighted already, and I believe it's a brilliant point. Back-to-back seven-inning games here in this little doubleheader.
Yeah, it's got you tantalized.
For the first time, I'm like, ooh, baseball. You know why? I don't watch Phillies bullpen. All right? At least you hope you don't have to. You hope that your two best pitchers, your number one and number two guys...
Just go complete games.
Oh, yeah, just 7 innings.
Please?
That's it.
Each?
And by the way, just in case you didn't hear me say this before, 7 innings of baseball, yeah, fine. Like, I'm out. I don't care.
Yeah, I'm good with it.
I continue to look at this season as a heightened preseason to next year. That's how I look at this year.
Yeah. Especially, yeah, I mean, because there's no World Series aspirations this year.
Yeah, especially when you look at this bullpen and you're like, oh, this isn't going
to
work.
Not to be dramatic, but if they were to lose both games today, like, season's kind of over.
You might have
a shot at making the playoffs still because 53% of the league is making it this year.
Uh-huh.
But, it's over.
You look at this Phillies.
Think about that.
Yeah, but here's...
It's over.
Yeah, but you know when it's over? When the bullpen comes in.
Because
I look at this Phillies bullpen as, like... If a NHL team just pulled their goalie for the entire third period.
Yeah.
That's kind of how I look at this
Phillies
bullpen.
And I look at Spencer Howard as, look, is it going to improve the bullpen dramatically? Probably not. But having a Pivetta or Velasquez back there, I'll take my chances with them over some of these slop Reggie McClain.
Yeah, right.
So I view as Spencer Howard as a bullpen move and a improvement to the rotation.
So what you could do is you could have, you mean to tell me you could have Nola, Wheeler, and then Spencer Howard?
And then Arrieta. And if he looked like he did the other night, if he can give you that for, what's he going to have
one
this year?
More
12,
inning?
12 starts?
Yeah.
Is that what approximately?
Last night was like a 5-plus ERA, Jamie.
Wait,
it was
what?
5 innings pitched, 3 earned runs. It's like a 5-plus ERA.
But for him, that's kind of decent.
No, I need better than that.
Well, you're not going to get it.
You're not going to get it for, especially, all of a sudden you're going to get that out of your fourth starter?
Yeah, if he becomes your fourth, then that's decent.
Here's what I want. One more inning.
Yeah.
I want one more inning, 3 runs. Just give me quality. Just give me a quality start.
Then at least you got... I mean, Spencer Howard represents so much hope.
Yeah.
It's a fresh breath air, not only to the fan base, but to that clubhouse. Clearly, your $330 million man is begging and pleading for you to bring him up.
It would help me watch Phillies baseball.
Yes.
It really would. Because, again, if you go by my own theory, the way I'm approaching this season is it's a heightened preseason to next year. So I want to know what we have for next year.
Absolutely.
Including Alec Boehm. I want to see
Alec
Boehm.
Get them both up here. Somebody tweeted me yesterday and was like, I might actually side with the Phillies here. What are you going to do? You're going to bring them up and lose another year of control for 20 games. And I was like, well, one, I want the kid to get experience under his belt.
Mm-hmm.
And two, the franchise needs to know. It's imperative that they know that this kid on the major league level can bring it. Because you're counting on this kid for a lot.
What have we seen? Inter squad games?
Yeah.
You know, maybe a little spring training.
I want to see him face a Yankees lineup.
Yeah.
I want to see him face the Washington Nationals. You know, I want to see him face these teams.
Mm-hmm.
And they have to know he's got the real deal stuff.
Well, Jamie, and to your point too, I mean, they have one win. I know they haven't played many games.
Every series is worth, or every game is worth 2.3 games. So every time you lose a series, it's bad. That's your analytical breakdown of the MLB
thank
season.
Thank you for going through the numbers for us. But no, you look at, who's the kid out in L.A.? Dustin May?
Yeah.
The carrot top
fella?
Did
you see that pitch he had last night?
He's insane. He's at 99 miles per hour, two-seamer.
And the Phillies drafted three guys ahead of him that...
I haven't looked up that pain.
I do that
too often where I look up, who did we pass
on? Yeah, he went in the third round, so, and the kid's got filthy stuff.
If I'm looking at one thing to happen by the end of today, other than, you know, the like a transitional thing or transaction thing to happen, it's just a simple thing. Hey, Spencer Howard.
Because it represents a lot.
Yeah, that's all I want to see. That's it. Now, obviously, I want to see the Sixers win tonight, or this afternoon at 4 o'clock. I'd love to see that, a dominant win, like I just explained. But what I would really like to see, and for as far as the transaction goes, is, hey, Spencer Howard, we're going to need you. We're not sure when we're going to need you, but we have a doubleheader today. We have a slew of games in like a 20-minute span, and we're going to need you to pitch a little bit for us. I don't want to see Nick Pivetta get pulled out of the bullpen to start. I don't want to see Cole Irvin get pulled out of the bullpen to start. I would rather actually see a guy like that Vince Velasquez go into the bullpen. I'd rather see that than anything else. But get him up here. Let him get used to the major league lifestyle right now with all the testing going on and the lifestyle they got to live right now. Let him do that. Let him get that experience above everything else under his belt like you were talking about, Jamie. He's 24 years old. He's not some kid anymore.
No.
He looks like he's ready. He's looked like he's ready. The guy that is really banging the drum for him is your number one guy, yeah. Bryce Harper.
Listen to him. Do you want the pain?
Why you got it?
All right, so Dustin May was taken in the third round by the Dodgers.
What year?
2016. So he's very young. Are you ready?
Yeah, go ahead.
The Phillies had the number one pick in each round.
Yeah.
And they took Mickey Moniak.
And then Kevin Gowdy.
Kevin Gowdy. And then Cole Stobie.
Stobie, yeah.
Yeah, the third
baseman. Was friends with Moniak, if I'm not mistaken. They were boys.
So there you go.
Yeah.
None of those guys are contributing at a major league level.
Go figure. You don't say.
You want to see me get angry? Just let's continue talking Philly's farm system.
I'll tell you the one that really sits with me, because I mean, as you said, like, that's not too long ago, and I definitely haven't sold on Moniak like many people have. But the one that really sits with me is Shane Watson. They took him pick before Lance McCullers Jr. went. Wasn't like this was revisionist history. Everybody knew McCullers was one of the best arms in the draft. He just had signability issues. And they take Shane Watson, who was out of baseball within 4 years or whatever.
They do that a lot.
So that's if you're looking at number one things, like to-do list today for sports teams in Philadelphia, the Phillies, call up Spencer Howard.
Yeah, because, I mean, look at how much we're salivating over this kid, because it's the one true... I mean, Adonis Medina, okay, maybe a little bit, but this is the best prospect we've had come up since Cole Hamels. Why are you depriving us of him?
He did look nasty. Granted, it was, you know, inter-squad games recently here, but...
He looks like he has stuff. When you hear Larry Boa talk about him, I'm sold.
Bryce Harper, like, demanded that he already be starting.
Get these opportunities often as fans. Give us hope. It's that simple.
I'm asking for a baseball hug. All I'm asking for
seriously.
Right now. And that's calling up Spencer Howard. So hopefully that does happen today.
Sunday's the deadline of rioting.
So that's the last thing we need more of. let's hope all that happens. The other thing that could have happened but didn't happen was LeSean McCoy coming to the Eagles. And when we talked about LeSean McCoy a couple of maybe a month and a half ago, we're like, you know what? Not yet. If it comes down to it, where they're in training camp, maybe that's where you entertain the idea. Well, here we are. We're in training camp. And LeSean McCoy, and do we still have this cut? LeSean McCoy is doing his introductory press conference with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. There was pictures out there of him hugging Tom Brady, so they're on the field. That's all nice, right? But you have him do the introductory press conference where he gets asked about interest from other teams in the NFL. And here's what LeSean McCoy had to say.
Philly was another big one that I really wanted to explore that option. They reached out. But it just clicked the right time. Enough wigging. Let's do it. Let's get in there with the team. Let's learn offense, things like that. I mean, come on. I'm in Tampa. Nice weather. And I'm playing with Tom Brady. How can you beat that?
The wigging was over. The back and forth, I guess, is that what that means? I don't know. I'm unfamiliar with the terminology. But they recruited him. He wanted to go there. He wanted to play with Tom Brady. He wanted to be in that offense. We already saw guys like Jalen Mills reach out when DeSean Jackson came back to the Eagles. He was making the campaign for LeSean McCoy to come here as well. And we're thinking, oh, well, we're in it. At that time, I'm like, no, I think we're still all right. I think we're fine. But now this year, when you do look at this running back room, who's your veteran guy? Like, who's the guy that you could be a leader?
Corey Clement, who hasn't played in 2 years.
Corey Clement's like 20 minutes older than Boston Scott.
You don't have one.
You have a guy that is a guy that could be a great feature back in Miles Sanders.
Oh, yeah.
And
I like Boston Scott a lot. He's exciting.
Yeah, but it's like usually have that veteran guy.
Yeah.
You usually have, like, Garrett Blunt came here. He was obviously a veteran guy. Jay Ajayi had already put up great numbers by the time he traded for him for the Dolphins, and he was great in this backfield. I think Miles Sanders has more talent than those two guys put together, But where's that veteran that you just trust the ball with?
Yeah, I thought for sure a McCoy, a Freeman, a Carlos Hyde, one of those types was coming because they, allegedly kicked the tires on all of them. So I did think that veteran move was coming because Corey Clement has skills.
Mm-hmm.
But he's also got injury problems.
Sure.
So it's really tough to rely on that. It's nothing against him as a player. It's just you got to do what's best for the team, and it's tough to rely on a guy like that. Mm-hmm. So I did think that move was coming, and it didn't.
Yeah, no, I was surprised that the Eagles tried to get him, or at least reached out, and they didn't work out anything, and he went to Tampa. But
yeah,
as you pointed out earlier,
Jimmy, Jason.
It's, yeah, pretty much. But if you're in that offense, you know you're not going to have to do a lot.
He's not going to have a big role, I wouldn't think.
No.
I could see him getting released.
It's quite possible.
And if he were to be brought into the Eagles, like, there was no guarantee of making the team.
Mm.
Like, I know you're the franchise's all-time leading rusher, yada, yada. If you don't have it, you don't have it.
Yeah, 32 years old.
So maybe that's what they probably lowballed him because they didn't want to have to do that. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
They don't want to have to cut the franchise's all-time leading rusher if he doesn't have it in camp. So I don't know.
But yeah.
They probably need a veteran in that room.
I think they absolutely need a veteran in that room. And I would not have minded if it was LeSean McCoy, especially this late. You've already started training camp, basically.
So is Darren Sproles going to be like a player coach? Just have his pads on underneath his coaching outfit?
It crossed my mind. Him and Jason Avant are going to be player coaches. And they'll just say, hey, guys, you're ready to go, right?
Congrats to Jason. That's cool.
That is cool.
Yeah.
And we had mentioned this before. We were trying to get him on.
Just out of the blue.
And we're like, well, that's weird. We're not hearing from Jason. Usually, like, if we try to book him for like 9 o'clock, he's like at 8:59. He'll be like, oh, hey, sorry, man, just saw this. Call me whenever. You know what I mean? But so it wasn't that abnormal. But then when he wasn't getting back to us at all, we're like, this is weird. And then the news broke that he was actually joining the Eagles.
And then he texted and was like, oh, yeah, my bad. I couldn't say anything. I was like, it's cool, man. Congrats.
Yeah, I remember we had Connor Barwin on
it was probably around the time of his concert, was it?
It probably was. And yeah. He was like, by the way, I really can't talk about anything other than just my concert. And I was like, something's going on here. So good for him. We're all happy for Jason Avant that he got that deal with the Eagles to be joining the coaching staff. We're all excited for that. That's awesome. But when you do look at the weapons of this offense, I'm not looking at LeSean McCoy to be a weapon in this offense. I'm more of just looking for that guy to fill the veteran role. And like, take the name away from it. If you look at the resume from LeSean McCoy and even the age, it's like, that's a guy I like to have in this locker room.
Yeah, I mean, I'd have to go back and look, but I would imagine third string running back last year was getting at most 5 touches a game. At most.
I mean,
maybe that was Sproles technically, so maybe 7-8. But if it was LeSean McCoy, Devontae Freeman probably would have demanded a bigger role. But McCoy wasn't going to really do much here.
No.
So I don't view it as a loss. It's just, all right, who's the veteran?
Mm-hmm. And who was it, Mozart, that just signed a new deal? He was able to work out something new with the San Francisco 49ers. Those were all options that I wanted the Eagles to explore. But on the cheap route, on the just the veteran route, not looking for a guy to do a lot in your backfield, that was LeSean McCoy, and now he's with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I was a little bit surprised to hear that there was a little bit of a back and forth with LeSean McCoy being available in the offseason between him and the Eagles.
There was a lot of smoke there, so I figured maybe conversations were had.
What was more surprising is that there was conversation, and it didn't come to fruition. I thought this is where he wanted to be.
I wonder if part of it was they know he's cooked, so like they knew they might have had to have cut him.
Maybe. Yeah. I think
he's more or less cooked. He looked okay for a couple games for KC, and then he got the injury and basically was left off the playoffs.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if Big Red's, you know, healthy scratching him.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably a pretty good indication.
Exactly. Now, what we started the conversation with today, and we haven't really gotten to go in that much, but is there a food? Is there something that you would drive 12 hours for? Mm. Because the reason we bring this up is because...
Can it be something here in Philadelphia?
I mean, I feel like that's something you could get any time.
I know, but I'm trying to think.
If you ever had to move, I would drive
back for Angelo's Pizza.
Okay, that's a good one. That's a great one, actually.
I think it's the best cheesesteak in the city, and I dream about that. Like, I want this man to cater my life. it's chicken cutlets, the pizza, all. I would drive 12 hours for Angelo's.
I haven't done the chicken cutlet yet.
Oh, you gotta treat yourself.
All right, maybe I will.
Like, if I was living, like, if I moved to Chicago or whatever, I would drive back for that.
Okay, that's pretty solid. Pretty solid.
Like,
really,
there's not
that
a ton out of town. I'm thinking like that's really jogging my.
We do live in a great city for food.
Yeah.
We live in a phenomenal. And I often say this: there is no better city in the world for drunk off your ass food than Philadelphia. And it's because we're home of the cheesesteak. The cheesesteak is the greatest drunk
and the South Philly
ever.
Taco.
The South Philly. I have never indulged.
I've never done it either. Yeah, right. Seems
that actually surprises me.
Yeah.
Not even a bite.
No.
Wow. All right. Yeah. But we do.
I'm not above it. I just never did it.
You're not looking down upon it.
No.
But so we got invited more or less to Magic City, right? Magic City Kitchen, where Lou Williams broke quarantine, well, not even quarantine, but was quarantined for 10 days in the NBA bubble because before he went there, he made one last stop to Magic City for the wings. And these wings have gotten probably the greatest advertisement for a place's chicken wings in the history of advertisements for chicken wings. And here is our own Pat Egan. Last night he decides he wants some dinner, so he gets a nice thing of the chicken wings, tweets it out. Next thing you know, it's the Magic City tweeting. We're getting tweeted. We're getting brought into this all of a sudden. And we're getting invited down to Magic City, which Pat did the numbers, 12 hours. 12-hour drive, because Magic City said, you know what? We're trying to find a way to ship all our wings across the country for everybody that's demanding these wings. But maybe we suggest this to at Mark Farzetta, at Jamie Lynch, and at Pat Egan. Let me suggest this, that you take a trip, a little road trip down to Atlanta. Pat did the numbers on Waze, I believe it was.
Yep.
12 and a half hours.
I mean, it's for good wings, that might as well be 12 and a half minutes.
I borderline hate Lou Williams because I've been thinking about wings for the last 2 weeks more than I ever have in my life.
We got my in-laws coming into town on Thursday. What's that, Wednesday? Tomorrow they're coming into town. We've been doing the chicken wings on the grill, and I've never grilled chicken wings ever in my life.
Yeah, I've never really done. I've heard I got to get an air fryer when we eventually, the middle of kind of packing up and moving, so when we eventually get, I've heard the air fryer wings are really good stuff. Pat and I were talking about this during the break. Philadelphia wings? I think we lack a little.
Really?
As a city, yeah.
Now, as a kid, I lived in Buffalo for like 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
Both my years of kindergarten and 1 year of preschool. My dad's job took us up there for a little while.
Like, right? I don't order wings from anywhere just willy-nilly.
Like, oh, these wings are great. I got to get these wings.
Yeah, like, I have to, like, search out wings.
Okay.
Like, I don't trust your average wing order in Philadelphia.
Yeah, because I like a nice crispy wing.
Yeah, it's got to be the right...
Yeah.
Wing.
I agree.
It can't be this the skimpy, like, there's a high propensity to go bad there.
There's one wing that I seek out in Philadelphia.
One wing to rule them all.
There's one wing I seek out. Curran's Irish Inn.
Mm,
they're Cajun. They're northeast Philadelphia. There's one in, I think, Bensalem.
Okay.
They have a Cajun rub wing that is off the charts amazing. And if I'm out in those areas for any reason, my aunt has a school up there, I go and I stop in. And I'll call ahead and make sure
I've
I get
I've been there,
them.
But yeah. I didn't have the wings. I used to meet my dad and uncle there for Guinness and crabs.
I was sitting there once, and there was a couple of cops there sitting at the bar. On they're taking a little lunch break, and I'm talking with them. And they're like, man, of all the places, man, you got to come here for them Cajun wings. I'm like, that's exactly what I'm here for.
See, now I want to drive there after the show.
Say less. there's a couple of places in the area that's really
there
good.
Are good wings.
Yeah, like
but
Burns is really good in Port Richmond. There's a place called the Irish Rover that's really good. And then the place I went last night, like, I go there for their wings.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Like Pete's Ache by Me is really good.
Pete's Ache is solid.
Yeah. There's a couple, you know, the place in Manayunk that I used to go to all the time. It used to be it's Union Jack's. Now it's something else.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Those are good. But, like, as a whole, I think we can do
better as a
winged city.
It's our one bugaboo.
What, that we don't have good wings?
Yeah.
Enough good wings?
And I didn't realize it until I went out of town and had, like, I had wings in Buffalo, which I went, okay, you're supposed to.
Yeah.
Then I went and had wings in Toronto, and they were better than anything I've had here.
What?
Yeah.
Really?
Kid you not.
Canadian wings.
Some dive bar in Toronto, and I was like, these are incredible. Now, when I say better than anything I've had here, as I said, there's a couple of places, and the place that I went last night was incredible.
Uh-huh.
But for the most part, you go to any pizza place or anything, and the wings are the same. They're mediocre.
So, the real Prince Blue, a buddy that calls in the show and tweets us a lot, he's a big proponent of the boneless wings are better. Do you guys consider boneless wings?
Because
this is a hot button issue.
I consider them chicken nuggets.
They're basically praised, but they're better than chicken nuggets by 1,000%.
I like them almost better than wings, but I don't consider them wings.
I'd rather eat chicken wings than boneless wings. But if I'm like, let's say I'm out and about and I don't want to get my fingers all dirty, boneless wings are the way to go.
Yeah.
But I do acknowledge.
You can cut them up with a fork and knife and not look like a creep.
Here's where I go. I don't go that they're chicken nuggets. I go that they're chicken bites.
Okay.
And I know that we're splitting hairs over here.
But they're not wings in your book.
No, they're not wings.
I feel like they're bougie nuggets. You know?
Yeah, like, yeah, the best kind of nuggets.
It's like the girl that walks in and she's got like the Louis Vuitton real purse on. Yeah. That is what a boneless wing is. She got the attitude, the hips are swaying left to right. Like, all you right. know, like that's a bad, you know what.
Yeah. All right. Mike and KOP tweets in, Anthony's Coal Fire Pizza.
Phenomenal
wings.
Yeah,
because
yeah,
they're the coal oven.
If we're
all going chain, I do love PJ Willihan's.
PJ's
like,
good.
They're like full out like drumsticks.
Hot and honeys.
Yeah. Mm. I very much enjoy.
Yeah. I'm really glad I got 20 wings last night. So I was like, all right, we'll have some for tomorrow because if without it, I'd be buying wings again today.
Oh, Jug Handle In, Bill Strobel's tweeting right now.
And that's the other one good. He tweets in is Mike's Barbecue, which isn't far from me in South Philly. And everything that guy does is phenomenal. I would trust his wings.
Right,
so,
maybe we actually do have pretty good wings.
So, I'm just saying that, you know, some of the not well-known places need to up the game.
Well, here, let me just say this. The food arguments nowadays are nowhere near what they used to be. Because
everything's better.
Well, yeah, if everything's downsized better, and people travel.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We're pretty good on that.
Nothing drives me more insane than not enough sauce on those wings.
All right, so yeah, maybe we do have a couple of good places here now that we've thought it out here properly.
I'm just saying that as a city, we can do better.
It's actually the wing capital of America right now.
To recap the last 21 minutes, call up Spencer Howard, damn it. Sixers better win tonight. LeSean McCoy should have been an Eagle. And we got some pretty damn good wings in this city. 610-632-0975. When we come back, we're going to jump a little bit more into that Flyers conversation. And what we're going to get into at 8:30 today when we talk to Claude Giroux, the captain of the Philadelphia Flyers. Also, our pick-ems for the Sixers site. What you really want to see in this Sixers game this afternoon at 4 o'clock here on 97.5 The Fanatic. Time of the Fanatic, 7:23.
Farsetta in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Gator needs a scat, you fuck ass bitch.
Just the randomness of randomness there. We've gotten people's attention with the wing conversation today simply because we happen to be invited to Magic City Wings. No big deal.
NBD.
NBD.
They'd have to give us free wings if we drove 12 and a half hours, right?
I would imagine
that's dedication to the game.
I'm going to say this: free other things.
You would trade the wings for something else.
I'd still have a plate of wings.
I texted
rude.
You guys like a mock intro to the show of, all right, Mark Farzetta, we got Jamie Lynch, Bob Cooney, Pat Egan's running around here. Twitch Ryan is in the champagne room with Chastity, live from Magic City.
I mean, I think we'd have to do a Twitch broadcast.
Yeah.
We'd have to. I mean, if we did Twitch while we were quarantined in our own homes for 2.5 months, I think we could run down to Magic City. City and bring the Twitch equipment.
Yeah, something tells me the camera angles won't be changing too much because Ryan would be busy, but living the life.
Right. Could you put a mask on? I think that's what we would have to do. And we'd all be wearing masks.
My name is DJ Bon Bon. I don't know if you heard of me.
When we're out and about. He'd be on the ones and the twos, obviously. So that's people. One guy's on his way to a workout. He's like, man, I'm just going to be thinking about wings the whole time. Sorry, bro.
Yeah, I know.
But
Lou Williams did this to all of us.
He did.
We suffer, you suffer.
Lou Williams did do this.
He inceptioned us.
That's exactly what he did.
Unintentionally.
The best was the fact that Magic City thought that the original tweet was theirs. Because somebody hit them up and said, hey, you know, Magic City, what do you think of these? And they go, those aren't Magic City wings. And then they put a gif from SpongeBob.
Tweet.
Yeah, they put a gif from SpongeBob that just said imposter. And I had to explain to them, yeah, because we're in Philly and you're in Atlanta, so I had to make do.
Yeah, and they invited us to drive 12
and
a half
they
hours.
Invited us.
So, you know what? Yeah, thank you for the invite, Magic City. We'll go down.
Could you imagine us showing up? Yeah, so we're invited. We don't have to pay cover.
We're
personally invited.
Their tweet is like somebody's like nephew that's never been there. They run the Twitter account. But anyway, so we're going to go down there at some point. Here's what I'm going to tell you at the end of this segment. So around 7:48, I'll tell you the secret to the Nets' success. Are you aware of this? the Nets beat the Bucks last night.
Yes.
And it has nothing to do with Giannis out there.
Giannis taking time off in the second half had nothing to do with that.
It has to do with bubble life.
Okay.
Something they do as an extracurricular activity in bubble life. And it led to the Nets, who were plus 19 underdogs. Or sorry, 19 and a half underdogs.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
And they won. They beat the Bucks last night, so we'll get into that. But Claude Giroux is going to join us. An hour from now, we're going to talk to Claude Giroux, captain of the Philadelphia Flyers. I am amazed. Even before shutdown, I have not had this much excitement or buzz in the city of Philadelphia since they went to the Stanley Cup 10 years ago.
No, not even close.
I always say, like, I'm a big, huge Flyers fan, love the Flyers, and it just doesn't get that sink-your-teeth-in type of excitement as the other sports have over the last decade, okay? And that's unfortunate for someone that wants to talk more hockey. But when you look at the Flyers and how they've been playing, even before shutdown, they had inspired that kind of confidence in that buzz of in the city already. Before shutdown, they had won 9-10. They come back. They take care of business against the Bruins. And they even were doing better than that 9-10. They were one of the hottest team in hockey. But they come back. They beat that same Bruins team. They beat the Penguins in an exhibition game, but it's always nice to see them beat the Penguins. They finally have a goaltender. What is the reason that people are this hyped about the Flyers right now?
I think you just said it. This is the last one.
Is the goaltender.
We finally have a goaltender.
You finally have a goaltender.
Like, in that Bruins game, and look, I know it's a round-robin, borderline meaningless type of game, but his composure between the pipes, the kid doesn't get rattled.
Mm-hmm.
He, like, was it Derek Grant that said, you know, once he puts the mask on, you don't know how old he is?
Yeah.
Like, that's a great quote because he looks like a vet when he's in net.
Mm-hmm. He's been what you've been searching for since probably Lindbergh.
Yeah, like honestly,
he's a stud.
Yeah, it's not to be. That's the reason why we finally have the piece.
Jamie was looking for that 19, 20-year-old guy for the Phillies that seemingly every team has and the Phillies don't.
Yeah,
the Flyers have that with the one position that is the most important on the ice.
I mean, you can make the argument quarterback or hockey goalie. What's the most important position in sports? And it's a good debate.
Mm-hmm.
That's how important Carter Hart is to this town.
1,000%. But you think about that 2010 team, they didn't have a goalie.
No, they didn't. They kind of caught lightning in a bottle.
They had two good goalies.
Yeah.
Like, Brian Boucher has some of the greatest. I think he still holds a record for most consecutive shutout periods.
Yeah.
And I think it's like, or five it's games.
Five,
like
five
that.
Straight games.
Five straight games with a shutout.
That's incredible.
I think the youngest goals against for a rookie, he still has as well. And then they had Michael Layton, who was like nothing special, but played great up until that last.
And you have two good goalies now. Like, I think you have a great goalie and a good goalie. They almost have, you know, the Moose has got to be up there with one of the better backups in the league.
1,000%.
Yeah, it's exciting as hell. It really is. Plus, the other thing Flyers fans have been, you know, yammering for forever is give us some youth. Give us some hope. Give us some speed. Give us some excitement. And you got young guys contributing all over.
Yeah, they finally have the perfect mix of
the
youth and the vets. And you got to give Hextall credit on that, too, because...
Totally.
I mean, look, he was obviously not perfect. I mean, he wouldn't waver off of his course, but his ability to rebuild this farm system, trading Braden Schenn and getting some of these young pieces in line, drafting Travis Konechny in the late 20s was great. Provorov's a stud. You mix all of those guys with the veteran pieces.
Well, that's right. You gotta give Chuck Fletcher and like Provorov and Niskanen. Bringing in Niskanen to match with Provorov has done wonders for this team. So Chuck has so far did a good job. Hey, look, Kevin Hayes, holy hell.
I think
it's part Hextall, part Fletcher. It's been the perfect combination.
The big difference here is that, yes, you go back to that goaltender with Carter Hart, because even when you go back to 2010, you had the two good goaltenders, and you compare it to that Stanley Cup team, and obviously you're going to get drummed up excitement when a team's going to the Cup Finals. But you also had Jeff Carter, you had Mike Richards, who at the time we were looking at like, wow, these guys are just going to be studs in their career. They're both 30-goal scorers that year.
Yeah.
I mean, Claude Giroux was just breaking in, played all 82 games with the Flyers that year. I think he had about 16 goals. You look at the way that team played, their defense was solid, but mainly because of Chris Pronger. But really, it came down to how well their offense was playing that year. Scott Hartnell was another good offensive player for them. Danny Briere was still playing really well for them. Great playoff run, as per usual, that year. The difference with this year is that you don't just have a goaltender that you could buy into now. The difference is you have a goaltender you think you can buy into for the next 10 to 15 years.
Yeah.
With other young stars like Travis Konecny, like you were saying, Pat. Like other guys you could buy. Sean Couturier is a veteran on this team
now. Oh, yeah. Claude's ancient.
Claude's 32 years old now.
Sean Couturier is a veteran. He's 27, 28?
Yeah, something like that.
I mean, he's hitting his prime and he's a veteran.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, this reminds me of when the Phillies moved on from Ed Wade and they brought in Pat Gillick to kind of finish off the job.
Yeah.
And you're kind of seeing finally, it's like, all right, they have all of the ingredients. In the past, you could kind of get blinded by, well, anything can happen in hockey. And it is true, but you knew deep down they weren't good enough. This team is legitimately good enough to make some serious noise in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Like, other teams are scared of this team.
So inside this bubble, and they're obviously in Toronto, they're not here. Like, I think the Sixers feel our vibe. Like, down in there, down into the bubble in Orlando, I feel like the Sixers can still feel our vibe. Can the Flyers feel our vibe? Do they feel the excitement? Do they know how amped we are?
Do they feel the shake?
Do they feel
Is that what you're asking?
Yeah, pretty much. Do they feel it?
I guess we'll ask Claude Giroux.
We will at 8:30 minutes. And I want him to know that this city is hyped for the Flyers right now.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's got to be weird up there being removed from the city. Like, you know what I mean? Like, the playoff hockey, like, you feed off the city.
Well, I wonder.
There's an energy. There's a buzz. And they're just in this weird bubble in Toronto.
I expect him to say all the right things.
Of course.
And say how he misses the fans and stuff. But I honestly wonder if the bubble benefits a player like him. Because we know it's well known that he kind of gets hard on himself. And he presses. And if he's not scoring in the playoffs, it just builds to a point where, you know, he just gets on himself because he's the captain and he knows he's supposed to. And I do think that Carter Hart helps him with that, because in the past it was like, all right, we have to score because our goaltending isn't good enough. Now it's our goaltending is good enough that I don't necessarily need to score every single game. But what I'm trying to say is, I do think that maybe being away from the city and being away from, oh, Claude Giroux is a fraud and all that crap that we hear constantly during the playoffs would actually benefit him.
And you know what else? I don't know if he gets enough credit for playing every game.
He doesn't. It's amazing.
It never gets brought up.
He never gets hurt.
No.
He's the prototypical Philly athlete where he came up and he was just the bee's knees. I mean, you know, and then all of a sudden that one thing happened. And with him, it was Peter Laviolette saying he was the best player in the world. And then fans started going, hold the phone. And he's a guy who, when he retires, every Claude Giroux hater will go, man, I miss Claude Giroux.
Yeah, absolutely. So we'll talk to the captain of the Flyers coming up at 8:30.
I mean, hell, for like that 5-year stretch there, he was leading the NHL in points, wasn't he?
Yeah. Well, in terms of points amassed. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of that was Crosby,
it was mostly
McDavid,
assists. Yeah,
guys,
yeah.
But also the guys were hurt. The players.
Sidney had missed some time, but still.
That speaks to Claude's
his Iron Man mentality.
His longevity.
Yeah, absolutely. But when you're looking at point totals, you're also thinking, oh, well, he's one of the best in the game. And I'm not saying he's not necessarily, but he does. He plays every day.
Did you see him take the faceoff left-handed the other game against...
I didn't.
I think it was Bergeron was taking... I think.
Oh, really?
Pat, correct me if I'm wrong. I think Coots called in Claude to take the faceoff, and Claude did it left-handed and won. Think about that.
And you talked about...
Left-handed!
The 24-7 series back in, 2010?
27,
whatever. Yeah. And
2011.
I was thinking about this the other day of how funny it was when... I think he was going up against Matt Cook, maybe? And the guy was like, hey, you're very good, but I'm fifth in the league. And Claude was like, I never said you were bad. Claude wins the draw, and they end up scoring on that possession. And it was great.
All right. So we'll talk to Claude coming up at 8:30 today. As far as the NBA bubble goes tonight, we have talked about this over the last couple of days, and I'm hoping we don't see as much of this. I think you're going to see a blowout tonight. If I'm predicting something, I think they easily cover the 10.5 tonight.
But my only fear would be that the starters get pulled maybe in the fourth quarter and, you know,
all right,
our bench allows some points. But, I hear you. It should be.
So if it is, though, we might not get a good barometer. But I think in the first half, we can at least take this away, maybe even the first three quarters of the game.
I'll look at it as a three-quarter game in theory tonight.
All right, let's hope for
in
that.
In theory.
But what I want to have as a takeaway is at least Brett Brown is figuring out or has figured out what the rotation should be, because I don't want this to be a guess and test. And I want guys to not get in foul trouble. I want them to get their minutes. I want them to be on the floor, i.e. Ben Simmons the other day. I want to see what the rotation is going to be come playoffs.
Yeah.
8 games you have to get ready. I don't want the guess and
6
test.
Left.
Like, that's it. You have 6 of these games left. I want to see what it's going to be come playoff time. I want to know who the first guy off the bench is going to be, and I hope it's not Furkan Korkmaz.
It can't be.
I hope it's Matisse Thybulle. But here's the thing. With Brett Brown, it can be. And I know what you and I would do as far as pushing buttons. But I don't know what Brett's doing. I need to see what the shortened bench is going to be.
Like, would Nick Nurse or Mike Budenholzer or one of these great coaches or Spoelstra, if they were here, I know, but I'm playing the theoretical game, which you can't ever prove. I can't see any situation where they would have Furkan Korkmaz as their sixth man.
But he's your bomber. He's the guy that you've been growing this whole time.
Yeah.
I need to justify it.
It's not time for growing right now. It's time for winning. And I just don't see how Furkan as a sixth man is a winning formula.
I will tell you, it feels good to focus on this now.
Yeah,
because
I love bitching about sports.
Oh, no. I'm not even talking about that.
Okay.
I'm talking about the bitching within the bitching. Okay.
Oh.
I'm more concerned with the rotation and Brett's job as a coach than I am with anything to do with anybody in the starting five, because I'm not even looking at Joel Embiid whether or not he's in shape. That's one thing he has. He looks phenomenal.
He looks great.
He does. No questions anymore about if
and this team goes
not.
As Joel goes, so that's imperative.
I agree. And I'm not looking at Ben anymore. I'm not looking at Ben Simmons.
He's got to right the ship tonight, man.
I'm not looking at him as a shooter from the outside. I'm not looking at the mid-range game. I'm not looking at threes. I feel good that in these first two games, I just know we ain't seeing it.
I don't think we're seeing it either.
And I was right to assume going into it that it wasn't going to change, and it hasn't changed. We saw one game in an exhibition, the first of an exhibition game, where he looked like, oh, well, that's the version of Ben Simmons that I think, as I've said 1,000 times already, can compete for an MVP. That's what I saw in Ben Simmons when I saw that first exhibition game, and he was at least willing to shoot from the outside. That's not happening.
I had this conversation with my buddy Coyle the other day via text, and I was like, and we're both just like, what the hell, man? Like, because I was stunned the first game when he came out and shot 2 3-pointers. And look, I don't even care about 3-pointers. I just want some mid-range Jays. I was stunned. And I went, wow, maybe he is actually going to do this.
Uh-huh.
And then it went away for 3-4 more games, whatever it's been. And I was talking to him. I was like, it was almost like he came out game one and was like, see, I can do it. Now shut up.
No.
And then put it back in his bag and isn't going to do it again.
But we all know you can do it. I say I'm not going to go down this road. I'm not going to go down this hole.
No, I know, but like it almost was like, see, I can do it, you idiots. But now I'm not.
So you can do something and now you're choosing not to, and we're the idiot.
That's almost the added, like, that.
I'm done with it.
I'm done with it. It's so strange.
So it's good to not even focus on that. So we're talking about it right now. But the whole point is
it's impossible not to focus.
But like, I'm not even looking for it anymore. Like tomorrow.
But he got the ball at the top of the key the other day with 6 seconds left and had an open jump shot and didn't take it.
Yes,
and ended up going to a bad pass, which led to a non-basket.
Led to a turnover.
Yeah,
yeah. Joel Embiid stepped out of
bounds. So like, it's impossible not to focus on it because it affects every single game.
But I'm not going to expect it anymore. I'm now expecting that's what Ben does.
Yeah, I'm not expecting it either.
So I'm not going to let it upset me anymore.
I will.
I'll let it upset me maybe in December when the league starts up again.
Yeah.
But I thought it was fool's gold.
Like we might have to call Bob tomorrow morning and be like, how are you feeling about your prediction?
No, I want him to stew it over the vacation. I want it to ruin his vacation. No, I'm kidding. But it looks, here we are. I look to look past it. We did it. But anyway.
It's impossible.
It feels good just to focus on Brett Brown's coaching. And that's what I'm doing, in all honesty.
Yeah.
And I know that, yes, there's a small piece of it that goes to Ben Simmons and whether or not he's going to shoot from the outside. A small piece of that goes to Brett, obviously. A big piece of it, actually. But what it feels good to focus on more so is just the head coach. Because the one thing that could change between the end of this season, meaning the playoffs, and the beginning of next year is the head coach. That is something that could change.
It's the most likely to change, yeah.
Yeah.
You're not going to get rid of Al Horford. You're not going to do major. I mean, you're pretty much locked into the core of this roster.
Mm-hmm.
There's not much flexibility anymore.
So,
Brett's the big change that would happen.
So I look forward to hopefully seeing the start of the minutes starting to get cut back from the guys that are getting the tryouts, if you will. I would like to see tonight Matisse Thybulle, the first guy off the bench. He's your best bench player. That's what I want to see. Even if it means him and Horford come on the bench.
Yeah, just do the hockey shift. That's fine.
I don't want to see.
I want to see Brett figure out the staggering of the rotations. Like what happened the other night cannot happen, where you have Furkan, Neto, Matisse. Like you're getting minimal offense and sacrificing a ton of defense for 3/5 of your roster. Like those, you got to stagger it better.
I was willing to forgive and almost look past that
I couldn't,
the other night
because that gave me chills.
Yeah, I understand. But you also had Ben Simmons who had 5 fouls in 2 minutes.
Yeah,
you
know, I hear you.
So that was
now that's what I'm saying tonight.
Tonight's the night.
Don't do that.
Third quarter, fourth quarter, hey, you have a blowout?
Hey, yeah, fine. Go, hey, go nuts. I don't care.
What's up? Yeah. You know what I mean? That's the time. That's fine. But everything else, I'd like to see it start to fall into place as to who's going to be your shortened bench guys when the playoffs actually start. That's what it feels good more so to focus in on. I'm not doing the thing where we bang our head against the wall against Brett, or excuse me, against Ben Simmons and his the shooting ability. I'm not doing it with Joel Embiid, whether he's in shape. At least one thing.
One's been answered.
One's been very pleasing, and that's how Joel Embiid has played in every game.
Yeah. Look, if he plays the way he's been playing and Toby keeps it up, then you really only need a minimal offensive improvement from Ben Simmons.
All right, here's what I want
to do. You need defensively to be a lot better.
Speaking of the bubble, the Bucks lost last night to the Brooklyn Nets.
Yeah.
Right? The Bucks had Giannis play for about 16 minutes, whatever. The main helping factor here, the main reason the Nets said that they won was because of bubble life.
The Mickey Mouse pancakes?
They're staying at the same hotel, I believe, as the Rockets, I think it is. And they went down to the pool to hang out. You've seen guys bass fishing.
Mm-hmm.
You've seen guys maybe playing a little ping pong. You've seen guys go out there on the boat, maybe a little golf. Well, it turns out that the Bucks
pool hoops
just were hanging out at the pool. And here come the Nets were hanging out at the pool. And here come the Rockets, and they start chatting it up. They start chatting it up again about the Bucks,
mm-hmm.
and the Rockets are like, "Oh, hey, we took care of business against them. Here's how you do it." And the Nets went, "Okay, cool, thanks."
Insider trading,
and they went in and they beat the Bucks.
Well, what was that secret?
They didn't really reveal it.
Make your three pointers. You know, like,
when you shoot the ball, make it.
Because the Sixers figured it out the Christmas Day.
Yeah, make threes. Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, and it was. I think they had 45 three-pointers that day.
Yeah, they just said they were hanging out by the pool, and they got all the insider training, basically, and that's how they beat the Bucks. If the bettors would have known.
Yeah.
If the bettors would have known.
Pool time.
A little pool time. Bubble life, brah.
Real bonding experience.
610-632-0975, 610-632-0975. In about 40 minutes from now, we'll be talking to the captain of the Philadelphia Flyers, Claude Giroux. When we come back, we're going to jump a little bit more into that Eagles conversation, as well as what's going on in college football and the college sports scene with COVID-19, how it affects that, and also how it affects the Philadelphia Eagles. We'll talk about that when we return here on 975 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.